Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Sapitara, Jaya Sapitara. Jaya Sapitara, Jaya Sapitara, Jaya Sapitara, Jaya Sapitara. समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। निताय गौ प्रेम नंदी सो वी वर आस्क्ड टू स्पीक समथिंग ऑन श्री कृष्ण चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर विष्णु प्रिय देवी दासी एंड रघुनंदन ठाकुर It's nice for me to understand that all these different devotees, especially Gauranga Bhaktas, who is here in Navadvipa, and so many of these devotees just live right close. Krishna Priya is just up the road, actually, huh? And she was saying that she married Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, also from Bengal, Raghunandan Thakur. So the more we can hear about these, the activities, these glorious personalities, these devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it can really broaden the family conception, Krishna consciousness. Family conception. That we belong to. So, natural heritage. So we should know our family members. So when we hear about their glories and everything, like, it brings them closer. Reveals them more and more. So we feel more united in that. Gauranga's a tree of devotion. So, perhaps we can start with Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur. Who took birth in a Brahmin family in the village of Devagram in Nadia in about 1560, the year 1560. This corresponds to 1638 of the Christian era. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan identifies his father as Ram Narayan Chakrabarti. And his mother's name is unknown. He had two older brothers, Ram Bhadra and Raghunath. His spiritual master was Radharaman Chakrabarti, who was a disciple of Krishnacharan Chakrabarti. So, Vishwanath, he was a brilliant student. And But he got married for a short while, but he engaged his wife in always hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Krishna. He told her to be always absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so he turned her into a great devotee, and then he left quite soon after that. And he went to Vrindavan, and he was there. And this was just at the time, or just after Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas and Shamananda Prabhu had left, or they were just about to leave. They went preaching in Bengal and Orissa, etc. So then he remained in Vrindavan. He was like the Mahanta there. He was the most respected personality at that time. So in the, he's very famous for as being a guardian of Vaishnavas, and he was the chief teacher during that period in the 17th century. So he was like, since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, so today the middle period is when like Vishwanath appeared, so he was like protecting the Gaudiya Siddhanta. We know the story of how he was invited actually to go to Jaipur to meet the Ramanandis, who were claiming that the Gaudiyas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas didn't have a proper Siddhanta. Radha Rani shouldn't be worshipped with Krishna. And so they were convincing the king. So the king was actually a great devotee. So he asked Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur to come and meet their challenge. They had no commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So Vishwanath was sent word, but he was too old. He was getting old at that time. So then he empowered Baladeva Vidyabhushan to go and take the challenge with the Ramanandis. So Ramananda and Baladeva he actually defeated the first arguments. He almost defeated immediately, and then they said, but you have no commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. All bona fide sampradayas, they should have a commentary. So he said, you know, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by Veda Vyas. Veda Vyas wrote the Vedanta Sutra. And then Narad Muni criticized him. His Guru Maharaj was Narad Muni. He criticized him that you're dealing too much with the rituals. Of the Vedas, in some parts of the Vedas, deals with the so much ritualistic Kamakanda sections, and so people now are accepting that as the Vedic religion. So you failed to glorify properly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and the Mayavadis, they were using the Upanishads, which just deals with liberation. So they weren't emphasizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Kamakandis also weren't understanding that everything should be done for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna wasn't being brought out enough. So therefore, Veda Vyas, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is his own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So simultaneously, he defeated the the Mayavada conception, and also he gave those who are interested in karmakanda proper activities or devotional activities. Activities should be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna. So it was he said the Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, so there's no need for another commentary. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they didn't really need one, because and anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna, and Krishna's again appeared, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whatever he is teaching, that is the law, that should be the law according to the present time. So anyway, because the Ramanandi scholars, they wanted an explanation from Vedanta Sutra because it's considered authority. Then Baladev, he said, I'll compose. He said, we have a commentary, but it hasn't been compiled yet. So they said, well, when you can compile it, well, give me a few weeks and I'll make one. I'll compile it in a few weeks. So he went to Govindaji to take his blessings, and the garland fell off Govindaji, same as when Sanatana Goswami went to Madan Mohan, the garland fell off. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he went to Madan Mohanji for his blessings to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the garland fell off Madan Mohan. So similarly, the garland fell off Govindaji also when Baladev was requesting help to compile the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And Govindaji said, you don't worry, you just write it, I'll speak it, you just write it down as I speak. So therefore it's called the Govinda Bhashya. The commentary was actually given by Govinda, Rupa Goswami's deity, Govindaji. So then he could defeat them. So he was by the influence of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he was able to protect the Vaishnava line at that time and establish its purity and essential nature. So this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is considered a guardian at that period of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. This is called the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Shabha, or the assembly of Vaishnavas, the kings of the Vaishnavas, or the assembly of the Vaishnavas who worship the king, Mahaprabhu, the king of the Vaishnavas. Anyway, the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established, was then later on more clearly defined by the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, who compiled all of Mahaprabhu's teachings in a systematic order. And Jiva Goswami was the last one to take it up. So this was the first time that the Mahaprabhu's teachings were actually written down in some systematic order. So it was they were presenting the teachings of Mahaprabhu and Sandavas and other treatises like that. So this was the first time Krishna consciousness was actually written down as the teachings of Mahaprabhu in some systematical way for the benefit of the world. And then we know that Narottam Das and Srinivasan, they took all those books. Now this was the first book distribution. These were the first books written, on the actual essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, what his teachings are. They took them, they went to preach in Bengal and Orissa, etc. Jiva Goswami was there at that time. So this Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha, it's those great souls who maintain the essence of the Gaudiya teachings. They've imbibed the essence and they can maintain and carry it, because the age of Kali is very, very powerful. And you see, after when Mahaprabhu finished his pastimes in here, then see all the devotees were thrown into such bewilderment, they all, you know, practically like madmen. They forgot everything, everybody left Mayapur, because wherever they looked they saw one place, or Nimai here was doing this, Mahaprabhu was performing this pastime. It was just breaking their heart every time they saw something, just reminded of Mahaprabhu. So they would all leave and go to different places, and like that, nobody really bothered writing all the teachings and everything down. But then the six Goswamis, they stayed in Vrindavan and they gathered all the information, all the teachings, and they compiled it very nicely. And you see it. And then just after that time, then we see many upper sampradayas come. And they started to, although they were supposedly followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they called themselves Gaudiyas, they were following Mahaprabhu's teachings, but they were most of them were materialistic. They brought Radha and Krishna down to a material platform, so it just became like a mundane affair. And so it simply turned out, you know, like they wanted sense gratification, etc. So, but they became very popular, all these different upper sampradayas. There were 13 upper sampradayas that sprung up over due course. And so then a great devotee appears here, like a shining sun, and they again bring to light the teachings that get covered by the darkness of Kali Yuga. So this is the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Shabar. It's the spirit of the essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's essential teachings. It's those great acharyas, they capture that and then they bring it to light, they illuminate the world again. And then we see after they disappear again, it very quickly becomes covered. So much so that we see shortly after that, Baladev, Vishwanath Baladev and Madhusudan Ramji, and Jagannath Das Babaji, etc., Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was completely lost, covered again, practically. And they were calling themselves Gaudiya, but the whole thing had become so corrupted that the actual Vaishnavas had a bad name amongst moral people, ethical people. They were considered very low characters, low class character, because of their indulgence in intoxication, etc., and illicit connection with women. So they got a very bad name for Vaishnavism. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he was looking for a Chaitanya Charitamrita when he became influenced into Gaudiya teachings. He was looking for Chaitanya Charitamrita. It took him, I think, 7 years or 13 years or 12, 11 years. 7 or 11 years, something like that, to find the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now we can go downstairs and buy one on the book table, or anywhere you go, you can get. At that time, you couldn't get Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's how quickly these teachings can get covered. So then, another great soul will emerge, who is called the essence of the spirit. It's a living spirit, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving. It's a living spirit, so they keep that alive, they revive it again. So this is the meaning of these great acharyas. So Vishwanath, he was celebrated as that person who was actually guardian of the Gaudiya Siddhanta at that time and establishing it very firmly. He was himself, he was a very great scholar. I mean, he was a great devotee, of course, but he is known for his, especially for his commentaries, especially on the Ujjvala Nilamani and the his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, especially he's glorified for these, because these commentaries, they actually make devotees, they make a person. If a person reads his commentaries, they'll make him into a Vaishnava. This is the potency of his books. And of course he's got so many different translations. The Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe you've read that Srimad Bhagavatam translation in English. I think Banaswami translated it and Mahanidhi published it. But when you read those commentaries on the 10th canto, it's so enlightening. He has a he just makes it alive. He puts his interpretations in. Of course, he's a powerful acharya. He can do that. Just like in the is it Shishupala? He's insulting Krishna in the 10th canto. This Krishna, he is a Naradama. He's a Naradama means the lowest of all mankind. So Vishnath will translate. This is the Sanskrit meaning. So he will give Naradama. It means that man who is so high, he makes all others go down. So instead of the lowest of mankind, he's the highest of mankind. He makes all others go down. So every kind of insult, all the insults of Shishupala, he would translate. This is the actual Sanskrit meaning, and he would completely reverse it. So Shishupala, you say, was actually glorifying Krishna. So this was his expertise. if you've read also his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, again, Banaswami commented on, translated that. That's also very enlivening, because we're getting Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. The philosophy is there. It's very philosophy. Sometimes Vishwanath, he's kind of more of a Rasika Bhakta, so he brings certain things out in the dialogue. So it ends, it's not just a philosophical treatise on the battlefield, it's two friends are there having this conversation. And so he's speaking, he has his questions and comments also that we don't find usually in the Bhagavad Gita. And like this, he brings out many philosophical points. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, in Krishna is saying, "Man manabhava matbhakto madhyajima," you become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, and you will come to me, Arjuna. I promise you, without fail, you are so dear to me, you will come back to me. So then he writes, Krishna chapter, starts putting his questions and answers between Krishna and Arjuna. He continues the conversation. And he says, well, Krishna, he says, but you're from Mathura. And these Mathuras, they're always making a vow. You're promising me you'll come to me. But these people from Mathura, they're always making vows. They're Kshatriyas. They have to, they're very diplomatic. So with every sentence saying, I vow this, I swear this. So how can I believe your promise, Krishna? You're promising. You're also from Mathura. And so Krishna says, oh, if it's true that people of Mathura make vows, and I make a vow, I'm making a solemn vow here, a very solemn vow, that you are dear to me, Krishna. Arjuna, no one be more dear. The people of Mathura, he said, then they cheat and lie, said, but they don't cheat the ones they love. And I'm telling you, Arjuna, I do love you, will come back to me. This is my solemn vow. So, the way he brings it out, you know, it's, then he says, then sarvadhanam prita jamamikam. So he brings, you know, he just brings up so much, makes him alive. Krishna Arjuna kind of really become alive with this. And it's very philosophical, and, you know, he just, what Krishna is saying, he just, his continuation of their conversation, you know, just brings it alive, and it really illuminates the philosophical points. And it gives us a more hope also when we have Krishna is so emphatic about his devotees, and it gives us we feel there's more chance for us. So, Srila Prabhupada also used these books for translating Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's books, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go to Prabhupada's room in the Lotus Building, you see he's got a bookshelf there behind his desk. And so Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's books were there, Srimad Bhagavatam. He would copy those, translating mainly Vishwanath and Sridhar Swami. He would translate from their commentaries. His Bhaktivedanta purports, he would read their commentaries, and then he would make his Bhaktivedanta purport. And I was in Srila Prabhupada's room one time, and Srila Prabhupada was, I don't know how it came about, but he started talking about Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And he said, this Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he said, he is such a great scholar. Such a great scholar. He said, the best scholar since Jiva Goswami. There never was a scholar like him. And he was going, he's such a great... You know, we were always, you know, really praising Prabhupada. But we never saw him so much, because he was the guru figure and everything. But hey, Prabhupada was really, really... It was really coming from his heart. He was really praising like anything. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur as a great acharya. There never was a scholarly that, like Prabhupada was going, you know, like he had five mouths, you know. There never was such a great scholar. He's such a great scholar. He's brilliant. He's purple. He's just going on and on. Of course, his Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita was also dedicated to Baladev, Peter Bhushan's Bhagavad Gita, and Baladev was a disciple of Vishwanath. He also closely, his Bhagavad Gita also very closely follows Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's. But the... Prabhupada said that when he read the Vyasatmika Buddhiya verse, and that's in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 43 or something. Something like that. Vyasatmika buddhiya ekiha puru nandana. About being single-minded determination, fixed on one point. And he said, when I read this commentary in purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, and he was talking about that fixed point. What is that fixed point? Vyasatmika buddhiya you fix on. And he said, that is the instruction of Guru. That becomes your fixed point. That becomes your... If you make it your life and soul, the instruction, so that is your like guiding force in life. And then he also quoted Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's Yasha Prashad Bhagavat Prashad, Yasha Prashad Bhagavat, because Vishwanath Chakrabarti wrote that song, that Guru Vasika. So by the grace and mercy of Krishna, one can get the, by the mercy of Guru, one can get the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of Guru, there's no hope. There's no hope. So he read that, and Prabhupada said, it struck me. When I read that verse, he said, it struck me. And Prabhupada said, then I actually founded the International Society of Krishna Consciousness on this verse. because Prabhupada took that, he said it struck, he took it so seriously that he dedicated his life and soul to the instructions of his guru. So it was a great, this is the acharyas, they enliven, enliven others to simplify their words. So Prabhupada's, just one small purport he read, but it struck him, so much so that we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness based on this principle, that we should actually dedicate our life and soul to the order of Guru. And Prabhupada, as an acharya, means one who sets the example, he followed that process, so we are following our acharya. So this is how we can also follow. Because he became successful by it. That was Prabhupada's success. So our success is if we follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. So see, this is the influence of Srila Vishnu, even in our own movement, is highly influenced by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It said when he used to translate his Bhagavatam, when he was writing his commentaries on Bhagavatam, because they believed he was living in Vrindavan at that time, they didn't have any Krishna Balaram guest houses or anything like that. But when it started raining, he said the rain would fall all around him. And so he would continue writing and his ink wouldn't run on the paper. So Krishna was looking, protecting his teachings. He said, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, I wrote a few more verses to conclude the Bhagavad Gita. He said, but somehow or another, Ganesh's carrier came, a little rat came along, took it all away. I gave my opinion on the... but somehow or another, Ganesh sent his rat carrier to take my papers away. So anyway, let it be. We'll finish the Gita now anyway. So he sees quite a sense of humor also. But because he was controversial, to some of the teachings of especially the caste Goswamis, they didn't like him because they were claiming superiority over the teachings, and they were monopolizing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Like the Nityananda Bhavan, this is our line, only we can preach, and things like that. And people not born in Brahman families. And so he was also faced with that. So much so, they wanted to kill him. They tried to kill, they had made a plan to kill him, that they would kill him when he's coming back through the river, whichever direction it was. They said, we'll catch him and we'll kill him, and then we can continue being the authorities in Mahaprabhu's authorities. So they were waiting. They were waiting to pounce on him, and they were waiting and waiting, and he didn't come. And it's getting later and later, and then one small girl come, they said, hey, have you seen Vishwanath Baba? He comes this way every day, he didn't come, have you seen him? She said, what do you want to see him for? They said, we want to ask him some questions. She said, well, ask me. They said, no, we want to speak to Vishwanath. He said, yeah, I'm here, I'm speaking. You can ask me, what questions do you want to know? It's a little girl, little Manjari. So when they realized they'd made a big mistake, and they apologized, they accepted him as their guru. So this was the wonderful character of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Any questions from Vishnu?
In the 80s, I translated a meaningful Kumar you said he was a great scholar, and Rupa Goswami was his life and soul. And Rupa Goswami had said there were 21 and a half moons or syllables to the Kama Devaya Gayatri, and he could only come up with 21. And he took the words of his guru to be so important, and the fact that he couldn't see how there were 21 and a half moons or syllables to the Kama Devaya Gayatri, he was literally going to give up his life. He figured his life was worthless. And I forget how it said that he was going to give up his life fasting or jumping off Govardhan or whatever, but he seriously, if he couldn't understand what was the use of this body, and he'd been searching so many scriptures to substantiate the claim, you know, the fact that Rupa Goswami had said, and Srimati Radharani herself then came to him the night that he was determined to take his life and said, no, in this scripture, which was a very, very, you know, esoteric and unknown scripture, she said, here it said when you combine these two syllables together, then it produces a half syllable. So in this way, everything that Rupa Goswami has said is right, and you certainly don't have to give up your life.
Really? Thank you. So, also the appearance there of Vishnupriya, she was he. Second wife of Lord Chaitanya, his first wife of Lakshmi Priya. And it was suggested for his mother Sachi wanted him to get married. He said, if I'm living at home, I might as well get married. We live at home. So the marriage was arranged with Lakshmi Priya. Then shortly after that, Mahaprabhu went to what is now Bangladesh for teaching. He said, I have to earn some money. So he went and he was teaching and visiting different places in Bangladesh. And it is said that Lakshmi Priya, due to the intense separation, you know, the poison of separation, she was bitten by a snake. And then she left her body. So then again, Satyamata wanted him to get married again. So then the marriage with Vishnu Priya was arranged. Everybody who saw them said, this must be Lakshmi Narayan, this must be Shiva and Parvati, this must be Rati and Cupid. Everybody was astonished to see them. This was the perfect combination, how they come together. Krishnadas Kaviraj doesn't comment so much on Vishnupriya. But some upper sampradayas, they like these topics, they're emphasizing more on Vishnupriya, especially the Gaura Nagaris. They're more or less making out Mahaprabhu as an enjoyer. So they like to emphasize the stories of Lord Chaitanya with his wife, but you see that Krishnadasa now, Srila Prabhupada also, they can't really avoid it, all that. Prabhupada said to Lord Chaitanya, he said he never even joked with his wife. This is how serious he was in association with him. He said he never even joked with his wife. But other sampradayas, they'll bring out all intimate moods. And anyway, the Gauranga Nagara is... He's Krishna, so he's a supreme enjoyer, but Mahaprabhu didn't come as the enjoyer. He came as a servant of the enjoyer. He came as a servant of Krishna. So therefore the Gauranganagaris are often their conception that they worship in Gauranga as an enjoyer. So we see the way Krishna Das Kaviraj is presented, Chaitanya-caritamrita. There's not much mention at all, really, of his relationship with his wife, but there's also mention of his relationship with his devotees and Sankirtan and dancing and the Yuga Dharma, that's all it is. That's why it's difficult for people to understand the Chaitanya-caritamrita. Even more difficult to understand the Chaitanya Bhagavat, because it's just the devotees, they're dancing and chanting, they fall down unconscious on the ground, and they get up and they dance again, and they fall unconscious, and they're eating prasad together, and they dance, and they fall unconscious. That's all it is. So people can't understand. Of course, the Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was the manifestation of Veda Vyas. Was it Chaitanya Leela Vyas Vrindavan Das? So that same person who was Vyasadeva in Krishna Leela, he appeared in Gaur Leela as Vrindavan Das Thakur. And as we just mentioned, how Narad Muni chastised Veda Vyas for compiling all that Karmakanda stuff and not emphasizing enough on bhakti, on the personality of Godhead. He got chastised by Narad Muni chastised him, practically, you're a fool, you made a big mistake there. So then again he took birth as Vrindavan Das. He didn't make that same mistake again. No Karmakanda, only remarkable bliss, eating, dancing, chanting and falling in bliss. That's all it is, every page is blissful. They're dancing and they're... So people just can't understand Chaitanya-caritamrita. It's a postgraduate study and the Chaitanya Bhagavat when they read it. You know, what's it all about? You know? They'd be like madmen, you know. That's what they were. As Prabhupada said, it's a postgraduate study. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Chaitanya-caritamrita, because it's just dealing purely with Krishna consciousness, nothing else but pure Krishna consciousness. That's all you do. This is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, given to us, you simply dance, chant, take prasadam, and preach, and take more prasadam and preach. That's all we do practically. Of course, the philosophy is there also. The philosophy we also have. But So the emphasis is more on, you know, Lord Chaitanya came with a mission to establish the Yuga Dharma and the chanting of Hare Krishna. So that's been emphasized, you see, by our acharyas. Of course, he did. We know that his reason for his appearance, he did have an internal reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, and was for his own sense gratification. That was his own enjoyment. He wanted to taste what his devotees were tasting. So that was his own personal sense gratification. So two reasons. One was to taste what his devotees are experiencing. And the other one was to establish the Yuga Dharma. So to taste that, but he had to accept the form or the mood of his devotee, the greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, to taste what his devotees are experiencing. So therefore he's not in the mood of enjoyer mainly, he's in the mood of a devotee. And simultaneously giving the Yuga Dharma Krishna consciousness to all the living entities by his example. So that in that mood we can serve Lord Chaitanya. But in his mood of understanding his intimate devotee, like in the last portion of his life when he was with Ramananda Roy and Srupa Damodar, they were just talking very intimate pastime, Radha and Krishna pastimes. So that was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing that he was in the mood of his devotee. But that was only with, you know, one or two devotees. When all the devotees would come from Bengal to go to Jagannath Puri to see Mahaprabhu and attend the Rath Yatra, then he would meet the devotees, he would associate with the devotees, and every day they go out and Sankirtan. And these were all Nitya Siddhis. When they all left, then he would go back with Ramananda Roy and talk about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But otherwise, outside of two or three people, he wouldn't talk. So, and towards the end, even Ramananda Roy and Sridharmadhar couldn't really help him so much. He was so intensely lost in his own devotion as his devotee that he couldn't recognize it. He forgot everyone. So how can you actually serve Lord Chaitanya in that mood? You can't. As if he's enjoying that position of the greatest devotee and enjoying Lila Smaranam. But how we can actually help him in that? You can't. You approach him, you're going to disturb him, right? If Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar found it a little difficult to serve him properly, how can we serve him in that mood? But we can serve him in his other mood of spreading the holy name in every town and village of the world. It's exactly what ISKCON is doing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. So by expanding his mission, you are serving Radha and Krishna. This is how Radha and Krishna want to be served in Kali Yuga right now, by telling people to chant Hare Krishna and going from door to door. So this way you can serve Radha and Krishna. This is how we can actually serve them through as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But otherwise, if we go to help him in his relishing, his internal moods, we simply going to be a disturbance. How we can serve? Completely the opposite. So the Gauranga Magaris and the other, they're taking he's an enjoyer, we're going to assist in Mahaprabhu's enjoyment. So that's the idea. So much so that we'll imitate him. We'll be also becoming joyous with the men and women mixing freely like that. So they bring everything down to material platform. So this is why we very carefully have to follow the pure acharyas to maintain this Vishva Vaishnava Raja Shabha. Bring it back to life again, Bhaktisiddhanta again brings it to life, Srila Prabhupada again brings it to life. Maintains that living spirit, the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So, anyway, we can speak a little bit here from Chaitanya Mangal, by Lochan Das Thakur. This is about when Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, and he has to deal with Vishnu Priya and his other devotees. Of course, this book of Lochan Das Thakur is dealing a little bit with Vishnu Priya. And I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also commented that it's a little bit tinged here with Gauranga Nagari. I think he said that. That's how strict Bhaktisiddhanta was. He was very, very strict. So he even gave a warning, even in these books. But anyway, this is the Lamentation of Vishnu Priya. How she was, when they found out, the news got round that Mahaprabhu was going to take sannyas and was going to leave. So, he says that Satchimata was so aggrieved upon hearing this news, she couldn't even speak. And seeing Sachi sobbing, Vishnu Priya Devi fainted upon becoming aware of the imminent danger. After taking his evening meal, Gauranga went to take his rest in the bedchamber. Vishnu Priya rushed to the Lord and sat by his lotus feet. Her face was sad and she sighed heavily as she looked at Gauranga. Vishnu Priya wrapped her creeper-like hands around Gauranga's lotus feet and took them into her heart. Tears streamed down her face and wet their sari, and when they fell on Gauranga's lotus feet. Suddenly Gauranga woke up, and sitting up in bed, the Lord said, "My dear, why are you crying? You are most dear to me. I don't understand why you are crying." Gauranga affectionately spoke some sweet words to her, trying to pacify her, and crying and feeling helpless, Vishnupriya didn't respond. Although Gauranga repeatedly asked her, Vishnupriya remained silently, simply clutching the Lord's lotus feet. Then again, Mahaprabhu was requesting that she reveal why she is sad. In a half-choked voice, Vishnupriya said, "O Lord of my life and heart, please place your hands on my head. I have heard you're going to take sannyas. This news crushes my heart. I feel like entering the fire. My life, wealth, beauty, distresses, ornaments, glances and gestures are all meant only for you. If you leave me, then what value is my life? My heart is burning in the fire of poison. Let my life go to waste, but I want to know how you will walk in distant countries. Your feet are softer than the sirish flowers, and they're so soft that even I don't touch them in fear of giving you pain. With your feet of reddish hue, how will you travel along all those thorn-filled forests? Your moon-like face is a pool of nectar. With the slightest endeavor, pearl-like drops of perspiration appear on your lotus face. During the monsoon season, it will be constantly raining, and other times scorching sunshine will dry everything. A sannyasi must endure a life full of suffering. I know nothing other than your lotus feet, under whose shelter you are leaving me. Your mother Sati is old and weak. How can you leave her? What will you accomplish by leaving? Your dear devotees, such as Advaita, Srivas, Murari, and Mukunda, and others. How can you leave them and take sannyas? You are the personification of love, and you love everyone in the world. But the way you are acting now seems contradictory. For when you travel far away to distant places, all of your devotees will die in separation. Is it because of me, the worthless one who is keeping you bound in material existence, that you're leaving to take sannyas? If that's so, then let me take my last loving glance at you before I kill myself by drinking poison. Then you can happily stay here in your house. Oh my Lord, please don't go to the distant countries. There is nobody else in my life. When I look at your face, my heart burns, anticipating our imminent separation." Vishnupriya fell silent, incapable of expressing the deep pain within the core of her heart. She kept weeping and clutching the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Gauranga said, "Who told you I'll go away and take sannyas? I will always tell you about my plans. Don't be overwhelmed by lamenting without a cause." Vishnupriya said, "Prabhu, don't tell a lie in fear of hurting me. I can guess you're cleverly trying to trick me. Without my knowledge, you'll just run away suddenly. You're your own controller, nobody else controls you. Now whatever you like, you can do. You can go and take sannyas if you want. But please tell me definitely, are you going to take sannyas?" Gauranga smiled sweetly and said, "Listen, O most dear one, please listen very carefully, because I'm speaking for your benefit. Everything you see in this creation is temporary and always changing. God and the Vaishnavas are the only everlasting truths. Besides these two, everything else is temporary and illusory. Sons, husbands, mothers, father, man, woman are all false temporary designations. Ultimately, who belongs to whom? Except for the lotus feet of Krishna, no one else can be called our near and dear one. Whatever you see in this world is the Lord's impermanent external energy. Krishna is the soul of all living entities, be they men or women. Due to Maya's conditioning, they appear as two. Krishna is the Purusha, the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the actual husband of everyone. Everything else is Prakriti, Krishna's enjoyable energy. Nobody understands this. By the union of semen and ovum, a living entity is created in the womb. He is born in total ignorance. After going through boyhood and youth, he suffers many miseries in old age. He becomes completely attached to his body and home. The old man spends his days lamenting to himself. I spent my whole life working hard to maintain and protect my wife and family, and now they criticize me and reject me in my old age. In the end, I simply feel angry and cheated by those whom I love. Although he's practically deaf and blind, morose and lamenting, and crying in the pains of old age, still he will refuse to worship Govinda. Instead of serving Govinda, he accepts another material body, becoming trapped in material existence. Infatuated by a false ego, he forgets Lord Krishna, the real master, and suffers severely. Your name is Vishnu Priya, so make yourself worthy of your name. Don't uselessly lament for nothing. Just remove all misgivings from your heart and absorb yourself in pure Krishna consciousness. In this way, Gauranga consoled Vishnu Priya, removing all of her miseries and lamentation. Suddenly, Gauranga showed his forearm form of Vishnu to his wife. But Vishnu Priya still thought of Gauranga as her beloved husband, even after seeing the forearm form. Vishnu Priya fell down on Gauranga's lotus feet and said, Prabhu, please hear my respect. I know I have taken a worthless birth in this miserable world of birth and death. Nevertheless, you are my husband and Lord of my life. I am so fortunate to be your maidservant. Then why am I suffering such difficulty? Saying this, Vishnu Priya cried helplessly on the verge of going mad. Feeling sorry for the distress of his dear one, Gauranga also cried. The Lord sat Vishnu Priya on his lap and tried to comfort her. Gauranga said, listen, Vishnu Priya Devi, no matter wherever I go, if you simply think of me within your heart, I will be there right away to give you shelter. I solemnly promise this to you. Vishnu Priya thought to herself for a moment and said, Prabhu, you are the completely independent Supreme Lord. According to your sweet will, you can do whatever you want. Who will obstruct your actions? Our Lord Gauranga did not reply. Then Vishnu Priya hung down her head to keep the Lord from seeing her gushing tears. Out of compassion, Gauranga spoke most words to Vishnu Priya. So he was giving some consolations to Vishnu Priya. So she spent her life, she lived up until about 90, over 90 years old. She was only, 16 years old, I think, remarkable, huh? 16 or 17 years. So she would have two pots, clay pots, one with rice, one empty. So she would chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Take one grain of rice and put in the pot, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Then whatever was there, she would cook, and she would eat pasture. She wouldn't eat everything, she would partially eat some of it. I don't know how many grains of rice you can get. You know how many grains of rice in that palm? Anybody knows? How many grains of Govinda bhog? Not the fat rice. Anybody knows? Oh, 3,000. Yeah, he's right. Yeah, I was in Prabhupada's room one time and he said that. He said, how many grains of rice in a palmful? And one of his Western disciples said to him, a few hundred, Prabhupada. And I went, huh? And there was one Indian devotee there. Yeah, getting rid of him. He said about 3,000 Brahma Prabhupada. I said, yes, that's right. I went down and counted. It was about 3,000. Check it out. Anyway, 3,000. That was just that much rice you get. How much she was chanting to eat. That was her foodstuffs. Shrimati Vishnu Priya Ki. And Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur ki? So Raghunandan Thakur, it says that he was the according to the Gauranga Deepika, he says the third member of the Chaturbhuja, Pradyumna, took part in Radha Madhava's leela in Braja as Krishna's intimate friend, or Priyanamashaka. He has now appeared as Raghunandan, whose body is none different than that of Sri Gauranga. So Raghunandan Thakur was the incarnation of Pradyumna, who was Krishna's Priyanamashaka in Braja, doesn't give the name of him. Anyway, he was the son of Mukunda Das. Mukunda is Vrinda Devi in Braja Leela. So he was acting as the physician for the king. Raghunandan's father, Mukunda Das, and his Mukunda's younger brother was Narahari Shakara. So they lived at Vaikatwa, Srihat. Okay. They lived in at Srihat. You can go there. It's not far from Katwa station. And Srihat. So Narahari Shaka lived there. Mukunda lived there. And so sometimes to conceal their identity, these great Nitya Siddhas, like Vrinda Devi comes as Mukunda, but he took a part of her position. So it's recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he was sitting with the king, a Muslim king. He was a physician to the king's physician. So he was talking about medicines or something. And anyway, then one of the servants came and brought a big peacock fan, because he was sitting in the sunshine, so to block the sun from the king's face, so he bought the peacock fan and put it in front so he wouldn't be inconvenienced by the hot sun in his face. Then when Mukunda saw that, he just went into his braj understanding, and he fainted. He fell on the floor from the they were sitting on a high platform. King immediately jumped down and picked him up. What's happened? He said, I suffer from epilepsy sometimes. So, but the king, he was smart. He understood that this was actually a symptom of ecstasy. So his pastime is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he says when the devotees, they went to Puri, they used to go every year to Puri to see Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Rath Yatra, and for the rainy season, then come back. And the Mahaprabhu would see them, he would meet them with garlands and chandan, and he would also see them all off, give them instructions, they would ask instructions. So Mahaprabhu, Kandara Mukunda Dasa Sri Raghunandana Sri Narahari Mukhatina Jan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons, Mukunda Das, Raghunandan, and Sri Narahari, the inhabitants of a place called Kanda, or Sri Kanda. Mukunda Das Sari Puchi Sachiranandan Tumi Pitta Putra Toma Sri Raghunandana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, next asked Mukunda Das, "Are you the father and your son is Raghunath? Oh, you are the father and your son is Raghunath. Is that so?" Kiba Raghunandam Pita Tumi Tara Tanaya Nishaya Kariyakai Joka Samsaya. Or is Sri Raghunandan your father and are you his son? Please let me know the facts so that my doubts may go away. Mukunda Koihi Raghunandan Mara Pita Hai Amitara Putrae Amara Nishaya. Mukunda replied, "Raghunandan is my father and I am his son. This is my decision. Amashabra Krishna Bhakti Raghunandan Hoiti Hoiteva Pita Raghunandan Amara Nishchite. All of us have attained devotion to Krishna due to Raghunandan. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father." Sunihashikai Prabhu Kaila Nishaya Janha Naiti Krishna Bhakti Siguro Hai. Hearing Mukunda Das giving the proper decision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed it, saying, "Yes, it is correct. One who awakens devotion to Krishna is certainly the spiritual master." So this is in reference to Raghunandan Thakur's devotion with the Didi. The Didi is the Gopinath Govinda. Or it may be Gopal. It's got to love it. Anyway, so Mukunda was called out to treat someone with an emergency. So then he said to Raghunandan, "It's our duty to, we're offering Krishna these foodstuffs every day, but I have to go out." He was just a little boy at that time. "So you please make this offering." And so then Mukunda went out to treat the patient, and Mukunda, he brought the bulgur in and put before the deity, and he was ringing the bell. He said, "Eat, eat." And the deity wasn't, "Eat, eat." And he got upset. Daddy comes back and he says, "You haven't eaten, and now you beat me. Eat." So the deity became so moved and he began to eat. He ate everything, actually. So then when Mukunda came back home, he said, "Okay, so bring some prasadam from the deity." He said, "No, Krishna ate everything, Father. There's nothing left." He said, "How is this?" He said, "My boy never tells lies. He's a very, very good boy. He never tells a lie. Must be something in this." So he said, "I'll try it again." So another time, he said, "Oh, Raghunandan, I have to go out again quickly. Can you make the offering like you made before?" "Yes, Daddy." So he came down the backside. He was hiding and looking. And then he saw his son Raghunandan coming with the offering. "Eat, eat." He did. Krishna said, "I think one time he said, I'm not so hungry today. I'll take half a laddu." So he put the laddu and he was eating half laddu. And then he saw Mukunda was looking. So he stayed there. He kept the laddu in his hand and he just, and everybody glorifies that, and they say that even today fortunate people can still see that pastime. If you go there and you can see the half-eaten ladder in his hand even today at Sri Kanda. It's just a few miles from him. So this is why Mahaprabhu was asking, who is the father, who is the son? Mukunda said, "No, he who has devotion, he should be considered father and guru." So by the devotion of a small Raghunandan Thakur, Krishna personate. So Raghunandan Thakur he was also tested once by Sri Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur was Krishna's, in Krishna Lili he was Sridham Das in Krishna Lila. He was one of the Shakas, the Dwadasa Gopal, the boyfriends of Krishna, who used to associate with Nityananda Prabhu. These different cowboys, but so he's one of the cowboys. And he was famous so that if he would pay his obeisances to someone, if they weren't bona fide, then they would die. Or if the deity, if it wasn't a properly installed deity, the deity would crack. Or if it wasn't a shaligram, it was a stone, it would turn into powder. Like he was very, very powerful. He also tested Gopal Guru when he was a little boy also. Everybody knew his reputation, so when Gopal Guru said, "Hey, Abhinandan is coming to see Gopal Guru," he went running to see Mahaprabhu. Jumped on Mahaprabhu's lap. So when Raghunandan Thakur paid his obeisances, nothing happened. He used to have a whip called the Jai Mangala whip. And anybody he beat with that, he would get love of Godhead. And when Srinivasacharya went to see him, he beat him. And he beat him three times. And then his wife caught his hand. Said, "Malini, no more. He's only a young man. He can't take so much ecstasy. Already he's falling on the ground in ecstasy. He cannot bear so much." But he was a very colorful character, very powerful. The atheists would be shaking when they saw him. Everyone would run away from him, the atheists. But he was a great preacher. He used to associate with Nityananda Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's son, which also he paid his obeisances to, Veerabhadra, the son of Nityananda. He paid his obeisances, and also the daughter of Nityananda Prabhu, Gangadasi, who was born of Vasudha. Nityananda Prabhu might have married Janabi Devi and Vasudha Devi. So they had a daughter, Gangadasi. She was actually Ganga personified. She was the source of the Ganga. So she appeared on Ganga Puja also, exactly the same day as we celebrate Ganga Puja. And he came to see many children of Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudeva. He paid his obeisances, they would die. Six or seven children actually. Vasudeva was a little bit upset. Nityananda Prabhu, he wasn't much bothered. Because he was... Because Abhiram will say, "They're not bona fide. They're not real. These people are not real." He paid his obeisances. There's one deity, I can't remember the place. I visited one time at Gauranga Prem Maharaj in the Golmandala Prikram. Anyway, there's a deity there. And Abhiram Thakur went there to take darshan. And the deity said, "Abhiram Thakur is coming." And the pay his obeisances. So Krishna standing there, he started sweating. And the people were looking and they saw the sweat was dripping off Krishna. And then afterwards, Krishna said, "Why did you do that? Why did you do that, Abhiram Thakur?" He said, "I was so scared." He said, "Well, I did it so people would understand you're bona fide." He said, "If you hadn't have sweated, they might have thought you're just a stone statue, but now they saw you sweating, they know you're real." So also he paid his obeisances to Gangadasi, Nityananda's daughter, and 12 times, let's make sure. And she was okay. So then immediately he composed beautiful prayers. The refrain was, "Oh lovely little daughter of Lord Nityananda, please be propitious to me." It was really nice. And so many beautiful prayers he offered. So she was, he said she's bona fide, she's okay, she's real. At Jirad, that place is called Jirad, you can still see that deity there. A deity, Gopinath, is actually Jahnavi Devi's deity. When she was, after she went to Prikram of Navadvipa and then Keturi, then she went to Vrindavan, and she was taking bath in the Jamuna, and she was getting out and someone grabbed her sari. She looked around, she saw a black hand holding her sari, and then he went under the water. And he said, I'll come later on, I want to accept your service. When you go back to Ganga, I will come. I want to accept your service. So anyway, when she came back to Bengal again, she was taking a bath in the Ganga one day. Someone told her, she saw it. It was a Gopinath deity was there. So she worshipped that deity. So when Gangadasi got married, then she was going to her parents' in-laws' home, so naturally all the girls cry at that time because they're leaving their home. They haven't left before, generally. And they're going to the in-laws' the husband's house, to sleep at the husband in the husband's house. So she is crying. This is tradition. Everybody has to cry a lot in Bengal, at least. And so Jahnavi Devi gave her the deity. Said, "Take Gopinath, because he's like our family member. You've grown up with him, so you can take him to your new house, and then you won't be your family will be there. You won't be feeling any lonely or separation from." So she took the deity of Gopinath. The place is called Jirad. When she was born, she wouldn't take her mother's milk. She wouldn't take her mother's milk. And Nityananda Prabhu couldn't understand. So he indicated to Jahnavi Devi that you should give her initiation. So Jahnavi went to the baby and whispered Radha Krishna mantra in her ear. Baby, want to take milk now? Immediately he started taking milk. So the example is showing that what's the use of living with just food without being initiated with Radha and Krishna mantra? So she was waiting, first I'll get initiated and then I'll eat. Otherwise, what's the use of eating? Just to maintain your life. We went there actually about 2 years ago, a little program there. Did some savour for the deity. A new bhakta, he came here. He stayed for a year or so. Then he went back and he got married. His wife's from that village. So he was telling me a story about the Gopinath deity. That the deity, there was an accident and Gopinath broke his arm. So they called it this stone deity. So they called him one mystery, stone mystery, Shilpi, and fixed the arm of Gopinath. And then after some time it broke again, same place. So then in the dream, Gopinath appeared to the pujari and he said that when you have an accident, you go to the doctor. When I have an accident, you send the mystery. You send the stone mystery to me. Why is that? So immediately he went and he found some Kaviraj, an Ayurvedic doctor, and he said, "Please come and treat our Gopinath." So the Ayurvedic doctor came and he put some medicine, put some bandage. He said, "Leave it on for 1 week and after you can take it off." So 1 week later, he took it off and he's okay. Gopinathuki. Anyway, Abhiram, he came to see Raghunandan. That was the story. So, then the people came to know, Raghunandan is coming to Srihad. And so they, Mukunda immediately got his child out of the way. He hid in a secret place. So Abhiram Thakur came and said, where is Raghunandan? He's not here. Went away, he's going to visit relatives. So he was a little bit disappointed because he had heard about Raghunandan's glorious devotional life. He wanted to see him. So then he was leaving. Then news got round, he's leaving. Okay, go ahead. Abhiram Thakur is leaving. And then Raghunandan Thakur heard that, oh, he came here to see you and now he's leaving. He said, oh, he came to see me, I want to see him. So he went running to catch him up. And he jumped, yeah. Raghunandan, and he said, oh, Abhiram, they was embracing. And then they started dancing. And they were going complete ecstasy in their dancing. Then one of Raghunandan's ankle bells flew off. He had ankle bracelets, bells, and it landed 4 miles away. There's a village there, Kala Krishna Das, another devotee of great Buddha. 4 kilometers. It landed 4 kilometers away, his ankle bell. This was how they were dancing ecstatically. The place is still there called Nupur Kund. They made a pond there. Even that Nupur was there, but some years ago it got stolen. Anyway, it's famous as Nupur Kund. Raghunandan Thakur ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment, question? Tomorrow, Swami Prabhu will speak on Advaita Acharya, 4:30, Panchatantra extension, same time, same place. Advaita Acharya. The other one was Chaitanya Chaturmasi. This was Vishnu Priya. Chaitanya Chaturmasi. Raghunandan.